the shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendrick.
You know, we talk about how the tsunami waves will come in or the water will pull back.
Right. Never with capital letters have a stripper pole.
It depends. It's like weather forecasting. It's a model-based enterprise.
Conflicting reports, many of them saying Caroline Kennedy is not going to try to go to the Senate.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
All time.
Famous Phil Hendrick Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And a very pleasant good evening to you here and a good morning from the El Pacifico. This evening, we've got a selection of things we're going to be talking about. Brooklyn's Acorn staffers didn't break the law. Bill Clinton has reportedly called Tiger Woods over the sex scandal. It wasn't Barack Obama. There was a story today that you would have thought was the biggest story since, since Clinton and Lewinsky. And the story was, who called Tiger? Was it Obama or was it Clinton? I got to tell you guys one more time, you people in the news media, I know you've been getting a bad rap for a long time. I mean, I think a lot of what the heat you guys get is bad, but increasingly it's deserved. Are you kidding with Obama and Clinton? All right, and a few other things we've got on tap for you here this evening, including the so-called tsunamis that were going to hit Hawaii and Japan that never did. And we're going to be talking with Mr. Lloyd Bonafide, who has actually is representing a number of people who have been watching the tsunami coverage and are interested in the FCC actually contacting or at least censoring on some level the broadcast entities that are involved in the coverage of the Chilean earthquake, because they're reporting, at least according to some viewers, has been suspect. We're going to talk about that tonight. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and our web address is philhenryshow.com. If you'd like to take a look at our live streaming video and listen to our live streaming audio any night, Monday through Friday, you can do that at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. All right, now the story was Hawaii's tsunami warning overblown? Now, the reporting is being done by the USA Today. You'll notice on our show, unlike most other shows, we tell you where we're getting our news from, because I'm not going to read something and have you think that I wrote it or that I did the legwork on this. I'm here to, first of all, tell you what a news story is. Secondly, let you know who screwed it up, because about 90% of the time they screw these up. And thirdly, to make myself look good as the result in telling you, you know. So anyway, was Hawaii's tsunami warning overblown? Did authorities in Hawaii overreact to the tsunami threat on Saturday, which was triggered by the deadly magnitude 8.8 earthquake in Chile? Did authorities in Hawaii overreact? Did authorities in Hawaii overreact? No, says Honolulu Emergency Management Department spokesman John Cummings. We're not worried about Hawaii. We're worried about whether CNN and Fox and the rest of those guys overreacted. There's a number of blogs today talking about the actual reporting of Rick Sanchez, just the reporting, just the ability of Rick Sanchez to do a story. And we're going to have Rick on our show tomorrow, and we will talk to him about this. But he got savaged this weekend, just savaged by a number of blogs, a lot of it relative to this tsunami reporting. So what we've got here, we're going to bring on Mr. Bonafide, and we're going to talk a little bit here about the Hawaii and beyond tsunamis, Hawaii and Japan tsunamis. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Mr. Bonafide here from Alhambra, California. And I have to tell you, Lloyd, if you're there, sir, I have to tell you, when I was watching some of this coverage this weekend myself, there was a little bit of me, and it may be, you know, not the right thing to say, but there was a little bit of me that was interested in I don't know, seeing the tsunami hit Hawaii.
Well, you know, I think the instinct is most likely to want to see something that
unbelievable, right?
Yes, sir. You know, I don't really want to concentrate on that. I want to concentrate on the fact that the news media told us that there would be an event in Hawaii. Now, you mentioned CNN. they did the lion's share of the reporting on this event, this earthquake.
Right.
I looked at Fox, and I usually look over at Fox for the news and for the Glenn Beck show. So I don't look at them for weather necessarily.
But you went over to CNN.
Yes, sir.
And what did you see? What were you hearing?
Well, what I saw on CNN was the reporter said that the earthquake was going to send a tsunami to Hawaii. And it would be of such a proportion, so on and so forth,
uh-huh,
that the waves would cause considerable damage. Now, my wife has been ill, and so what I do is I bring her into the living room, and we'll make her some soup or something, and then we'll sit, we'll watch the news. And my wife had been ill.
Is she okay, sir?
Is that?
Is your wife all right? Is nothing life-threatening?
No. Not nothing. She just had a very, very bad complication from some surgery. And so I bring her in, and she wanted to see this tsunami. I told her that the news said that there'd be a tsunami.
Okay. Now, I had also heard that this tsunami was expected in Hawaii, that there was a tsunami expected in Japan. Now, as you heard me at the very beginning, Mr. Bonafide, say, the USA Today, at least, is saying that the tsunami was predicted by Hawaii, as if to put the misreporting of this off on the emergency management people in Hawaii.
Yeah, I saw that as well, and this is the reason why we called for the Congress, because I don't think the FCC will do anything to censor the media, because those are the people that told me about a tsunami that was going to be there, you see. And
so you personally don't blame Hawaii, you blame CNN?
I blame CNN. I also blame this young lady I saw on Fox who kept saying there's going to be a tsunami. And we waited for this. Now, they said early afternoon.
Okay.
And we waited for this, and there was no tsunami in Hawaii. I picked up the phone. I called a very dear friend of mine, Ralph Sanchez, and another friend of mine, Dick Steelwood, and I said, did you see anything? They said, no, we did not. And I said, that is the last straw, because I've got a sick wife, and I'd taken her out of bed.
Yeah, but now, what were you guys upset about? The fact that they told you there'd be a tsunami, and that there wasn't a tsunami?
Well, they said that there was going to be this event. Now, I don't want to see anyone get hurt. But I'll tell you that I don't want to see anybody get hurt. But by the same token, if they tell you that there is going to be an event where there will be people killed, I believe they have to be accurate with that.
And well, did you bring your wife out into the living room, sir, to watch people get killed?
No, I didn't bring my wife to watch people get killed, but she knew and I knew that both Fox and CNN had said there would be a tsunami and there would be people killed. And we both waited for this. I didn't want to see it, but I wasn't, you know, it was obviously compelling. You don't want to see people get killed. But you do, it's compelling to want to see them get killed. I can't put it any other way than that, you know.
But this you're blaming on CNN and Fox. You're not blaming yourself. And
well, why am I going to blame myself? You know, Mr. Henry, as the young people used to say, you know, I don't play that. They told me on the CNN and the Fox that there was going to be a tsunami and that there would be death. And to stay tuned.
Well, they didn't. See, I was watching them.
No, sir. They said to stay tuned. We were told by the media that the tsunami was coming. We were told by the media that there would be a fair number, as they put it, of dead men or dead men and women, and that it was around the corner. But it never happened. And so the lie that the American people are feeling today of all the lies that we feel every day, and every day we feel that we're lied to, the lie today is that there was going to be a tsunami and there would be death, which I thank God there wasn't. But, you know, I think they really should rot in hell for telling us there'd be dead men and there weren't.
I got to figure out how you're coming. You're telling me, you know.
What'd you say?
I'm saying, sir, that you're telling me that you're happy nobody got hurt in the tsunami, but you wish that it would have happened?
I'm telling you that the tsunami never happened as the media reported it, and we've been lied to again. And
well, did they lie on purpose?
They'll do different kinds of lies to keep you in front of the television. And they'll say, well, you know, it looks like the Hawaii Emergency Management misreported it. They're liars because they put it on them. And they're liars because they won't take responsibility for the lie that they tell. And they want people to watch the TV, and they wanted to have this guy, this Anderson Cooper, you said, looking at Honolulu being destroyed. And so they wanted us to watch, and they lied. They lied, and that's what we want the Congress to address.
They knew there wouldn't be a tsunami.
I don't know if they knew there wouldn't be one or not, but they lie when they say they know that they're overstating it.
Well, if they didn't know whether there'd be a tsunami or not, you know.
But the way they said it, they said in all likelihood you'll see dead human beings. This, they said, will top New Orleans. Dead human beings, they said.
I want to know the name of the reporter that said that. Who said that you would see dead human beings?
Mr. Henry, I don't know. They said, though, very specifically, on CNN and Fox, Hawaii, it would be the island of death.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Did the media lie this past weekend when they said a tsunami was bearing down on Hawaii, a tsunami was bearing down on Japan, and the next thing you know, nothing? 877-876-PHIL. Now, I want to find out which reporters or which network said that Hawaii would be the island of death, that you would see dead people. Mr. Bonafide was watching this along with some other friends. People were anticipating it. I know that when we were on Saturday, we're sitting and we were tweeting with people on Twitter, and we were sort of talking back and forth on a bunch of different sites. I finally posted a video on Facebook where I said, you know, what happened? They kept saying that there would be a tsunami. But Mr. Bonafide here says that the media intentionally lied by using terms such as the islands of death, and you'll see dead people floating when the tsunami hits Hawaii. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. It's Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Now, let me tell you here, we just got a little bit of audio that I want to play for you from, I believe this is from Saturday, and the impending or the expected tsunami. Now, this is seismologist John Rungle, and this is seismologist Rungle being asked by a reporter on Fox, his name is Bill Hemmer, that if the tsunami detection capability has gotten better over the last several years, why was there such a disparity with what was predicted to happen in Hawaii and the reality of what did happen?
It's like weather forecasting. It's a model-based enterprise. Basically, you have to have a good source model of the earthquake, then a good propagation model across the ocean, then a good tsunami run-up model when it gets near shore. The problem is that with an earthquake that big, it actually takes a fair amount of time, perhaps even several hours, to get a good fix on the type of earthquake that it was. In this particular case, the subduction zone in that area is pretty nearly horizontal. So you're getting a side-to-side motion, really, rather than up-and-down motion, which is what you need to make really big waves.
Yeah.
So in retrospect, it's not quite so surprising that it took so long, and that, in fact,
so
the tsunami
wasn't
as bad.
So we've got a ways to go. I was glued to the TV on Saturday. I was waiting for this thing, I didn't want to see it. In the end, we did not. But, I mean, the media cried wolf. President Obama came out in the middle of the day on Saturday. I mean, everything was all over this thing, and no one knew what they were talking about.
Lloyd?
Well, you heard this guy Hemmer say it, but he's part of the problem. Fox News, and that was Fox News, and they turn around and they blame Obama. You know, and Obama's to blame too, but Fox News is to blame. The conservatives, the liberals, everyone lied and lied willingly to the American people because they wanted the American people to think wonderful things about them. And so we watched and we waited. And it was bait and switch, and we're sick of it. We're tired of being lied to.
When you say, all right, we're going to get to a phone call, but when you say bait and switch, did you want to see destruction?
No, I did not. CNN and Fox wanted me to, they wanted me to see dead people, like the movie, you know, the little boy.
Right.
But I did not want that. They forced me to want to see that. And when we finally did settle down to watch it after being badgered and being pushed all day long to watch the basic annihilation of a people, of a civilization, then the lies came. The tsunami is not going to happen. It's not big enough. When I looked at it, it isn't big. And so this is what I mean.
All right. So, sir, essentially, and what you're saying, the censure of the FCC should come because the American people were victimized on 11 and manipulated on a level that you think is obviously egregious.
Well, absolutely. There's no other interpretation.
All right. 877-876-PHIL is our number here. Let's go to a phone call. It is, oh, man, trying to get my, here we go. Here is Trish on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Trish.
Hi. I just
yes,
wanted
ma'am.
To weigh in on my little gentleman on the other end of the phone line. I understand that nobody is able to predict.
If I called you a little lady, you
would. That would be fine. I'm 50. I don't
all right,
mind.
The little girl on the other end of the phone. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I'm 50. I appreciate
You're
that.
You're welcome. I know.
That's a compliment.
I know. You probably haven't heard it in a while, have you?
I hear it constantly. Thank you. Anyway.
You do? Oh.
I do.
Yeah,
but my
it?
Thing is, you know, broadcasting
okay.
is what it is. And weather forecasting is not an exact science. This was meant in an attempt to forewarn people to help them to stay safe. Nothing more, nothing less.
No, they were trying to get me in front of a television. If it was meant to forewarn people, all they had to do was broadcast it in Hawaii. They didn't need to tell me.
Well, you have people that are here Americans. On the mainland that are from Hawaii. Do you not feel that it would be very important for the people that have families here to know that there's a possibility
no,
that their families might
to,
be in danger
no.
or in peril?
No, not at all. What are they going to do about it? Let me explain to you.
If you had a daughter who
was
over there.
I was in the United States Navy between 1950 and 1953. I was in Korea. And there's nothing you can do when a unit is cut off and they're about to be destroyed by artillery. Nothing. You can just sit and wait and watch them get pounded into fresh red meat.
Well,
oh my
I won't debate.
That's all we could have done.
I won't debate any issues like that with you. I'm Air Force retired.
Yes, ma'am.
And
yes,
I was overseas during the original Gulf War. I'm seventh generation yeah. military. Okay.
Well, you
the only thing I can tell you
about,
is
that Gulf War
whenever
was a little,
you have
wasn't
people
really a war,
that are
but
split up.
Wait. Yes, it
to,
was a war.
Well,
pardon?
All right.
No, when you've got people
she,
that
nothing.
Split up according
no, I just said the Gulf War wasn't anywhere near the war we were in.
The Gulf War has nothing to do with it. You're comparing
right,
apples
exactly.
to oranges at this point.
Well,
when you have
right.
people
you got
that
right.
from Hawaii to the mainland, okay, and you're separated by an ocean, and something
and are
happens
they get flooded
that's
out?
Catastrophic,
there's no way they're
do you
get
not
want to
know if they're going to be all right? I would want to know
on the
if my daughters
if they're
going to
get
okay.
hit with a tsunami? Mr. Hendry, this lady's the tsunami's not going to hit a Hawaiian on the mainland. It's going to hit a Hawaiian living in Hawaii.
Well, that she knows that.
Well, then why is she talking about people in Hawaii who've moved here?
You have family.
Anyway, thank you, Trish. 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking here with Lloyd Bonafide. He and several others very upset with the job being done by the media.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL on this Monday night. The story was Hawaii's tsunami warning overblown. Not only Hawaii's, but Japan's. I think Japan had, they might have had waves of 10 meters. And those are sizable waves, but I don't think they're anything on the, they're nothing on the scale of a, you know, three-story house. Or something like that. Mr. Lloyd Bonafide is with us, who made, you've not only made phone calls to other people who are watching this, you've been in touch with them via the internet, you've also sent emails to the FCC as well as to the broadcasters. What was it? You say you were betrayed.
Well, Mr. Henry, it wasn't so much, you know, I'm not speaking just for myself. I'm speaking on behalf of your listeners right now and other people who had been in front of their television since well before dawn on Saturday morning, when the first reports of this began to filter in, that there had been an earthquake in Chile. Now, the first reports that we had that there would be a tsunami was this man, Steve Ducey, who is the weatherman on the Fox television. There were other reports on CNN that there would be a tsunami. My wife, I gave her her medicine at 8 a.m. She gets two antibiotic and wheeled her into the living room where we've got a big screen, big plasma TV. And that's when I made breakfast and got my daughter and my grandson to come over.
Now, you're all right. So you were waiting. This is almost like you're going to watch the Super Bowl.
Mr. Henry, you keep trying to take it there. I'm telling you, the American people were shocked. You heard the man on Fox. We wanted to see it.
Are you at all ashamed of yourself that you are blaming Fox and CNN?
Why would I be ashamed? The American people wanted to see something that those two television networks told us we wanted to, that we needed to see. And yes, we wanted to see it.
What did you expect? You wanted to see, as you said, the destruction of a civilization.
Hawaii is a very old civilization. Obviously, the American colonization of Hawaii only goes back 100 or so years. But the Hawaiian people go back to 1000 A.D., when the final Polynesian islands were finally settled. This is a 1,000-year-old civilization on Hawaii, and we were about to see 1,000 years of civilization wiped from the earth. Fox Television told me. CNN told me.
Well, what is that something you were looking forward to?
Mr. Henry, I'm a Korean War veteran. Okay?
You mentioned that, sir. And I respect that.
Well, if you respect that, I was in the Korean War, the United States Navy, 1950, 1953. And I don't like... I saw a lot of death and destruction.
Yes, sir.
And it's something that you don't want to see again, but if you're going to see it, then by God, they better not lie about it. And when CNN said, you are going to see something...
Look, sir, I got to tell you...
No, CNN said you're going to see something that comes once in every 1,000-year period. The annihilation of a civilization.
All right, did you want to see that?
No, sir, I did not want to see it.
Then why did you have your wife in front of the TV? Why did you invite your daughter over and your grandson?
Because I was given no choice. There was no alternative. And let me tell you a story, Mr. Henry.
You were given no choice by who?
By the Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir, I'm listening. You're saying you were given no choice by the news media?
By CNN, by Fox, by none of them. They said it was going to happen. They said you're going to see an entire settlement of human beings drowned like rats. And I don't know what you're going to be doing, making breakfast, making a bed, but you better sit down and watch this. And so we did. Now, I want to tell you a story. In the mid-1980s, a TWA jet was hijacked, and the pilot on the plane said, bust land at Beirut, no alternative. If he didn't, a hand grenade was going to blow the cockpit of that aircraft apart.
I remember.
All right. On Saturday, the same thing happened. CNN and Fox said to the American people, you must sit and watch something that is going to traumatize you for the rest of your lives. No alternative. So once again...
So the American people are mindless beings who are manipulated into watching this because they want to see this kind of thing.
I don't want to see it.
Well, you said that you got manipulated into it by Fox and by CNN because they said you're going to see a civilization wiped from the face of the earth.
They use language that people cannot resist.
All right, so you're saying the people, whether they're the American people or the world's population, cannot resist seeing people dying.
Yeah, but you see, you're flipping it around now.
No, I'm not flipping it around. That's what you said.
I know I said that, but now you're saying it's my fault, and it is not. The Fox News, yes, we do. Yes, we do. You're right.
Okay, but Fox News...
But Fox News said, we know enough about the human people. We know enough about the human people that we'll tell them there's going to be people dying.
And they'll dig it and they'll watch it.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Well, I don't know you're gonna go to the FCC and you're gonna censor Fox and CNN and all these other networks by saying that they appealed, they manipulated, or otherwise sold to you the idea that you'd be able to see Hawaii underwater.
Well, they showed us New Orleans underwater. Nobody had a problem with that.
Well, you know, New Orleans happened pretty fast, and you know, I'll tell you something. When I saw that, I was traumatized. I'd lived in New Orleans. I'd never seen an American city almost submerged. But I sincerely don't know whether you're going to be successful in censoring the networks for appealing to the baser instincts of human beings to see a city or a civilization wiped out.
I was in the Korean War.
877-8, thanks a lot. 877-876-Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Coming up, a student apologizes for leaving a noose on her San Diego College campus. 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. So we had on this colorful weekend of ours a couple of things going on, the USA and Canada. And that was another interesting event for me, the USA-Canada hockey game, because, forgive me, there's a problem I'm having, you know, and you guys, you can just see me as your curmudgeonly uncle if you want. There's too much of this jazz going on these days about, well, he did a good job, and you know, we did our best. I don't know about you, are you tired of hearing that, I did my best? There are people now who believe that if they say, I did my best, they deserve a cookie, or they deserve a medal, or they deserve to win it because they did their best. Now, I don't know. I'm not willing to blame the last generation of mothers for turning out a particularly inept generation, although it could very well be their fault, mothers and fathers. I mean, if there are any parents out there who are responsible for the following human being, well, I did my best. Do you think, therefore, that means you should win? Yes. If there are any parents out there responsible for that, well, then yes, you're in big trouble. You got a lot to answer for. I did my best. Right. Good. Well, nothing, man. It sucks. What? Your best. What do you mean? I just don't get that. I just don't. And then they get resentful. They get pissed off, right? So the USA went into the game against Canada, and I heard people saying, well, you know, they're going to be outgunned, outmatched, out this, out that. I don't care. If they don't win. And so I said, all right, well, if they don't win, then they suck. No, they don't. Well, if they don't win, they suck. No, they don't suck. I mean, yes, they do. They do suck if they don't win. No, man, I mean, this is a good team. No, it's not a good team. It's not a good team at all. What do they win, the silver? You know, the Olympics, in my opinion, are very destructive from at least this standpoint, that, you know, we celebrate third place. Hey, man, we're third. Yeah. A lot of people believe that, well, that's healthy. You know, everybody gets a pat on the ass and everyone gets a cookie. And I suppose in its own way, the Olympics is the ultimate T-ball tournament, you know, that little 3 and 4 and 5 year old kids have where you don't keep score. They hit the ball and, you know, they run and, you know, he almost made it to first base. And that's fine. Those are for little tiny kids. And that's how they learn to compete. That's how they essentially learn the rules of the game. That's what that's about. I umpired Little League at one point in my life when I was in my 20s. A friend of mine talked me into helping him umpire some Little League games, right? And I learned very quickly from him and from others, really the essential part of Little League is that the kids learn how to play the game. There was some smart-ass coach of one of the Little League teams, and because there was a particularly, he wasn't a wild pitcher, but the kid was missing the strike zone pretty consistently. So this coach had his batters taking just about every pitch. They just stood there with the bat on their shoulder taking these pitches. Now, the kid was not wild in the sense that he was just way outside. He was missing the strike zone, but not too much. So this friend of mine started calling strikes. And out comes this manager jumping up and down, and he's screaming and yelling, and he's, he says, you know what? The object of this game is for your kids to learn how to play this game, so you better start having them swing at some of these balls. Or I'm going to start calling strikes. And this jackass who thought he was the second coming of John McGraw is, just go back in the dugout and manage your Little League team. Okay, Dad? You ain't Tommy Lasorda, so just go on back there. So that's good for kids. That's good for kids. That's what kids need. That's the way we ought to play it with kids. And these parents that come out of the grandstands at these baseball games, I mean, one of these days, somebody ought to just say it's going to be legal to go ahead and take a good hard swing at one of them. Because believe me, you know this, they don't do anybody any good. They're a disgrace. All right. But when you get to be older and you begin to play the game competitively for money or for the prestige that comes with being awarded these medals, whereby one can go out into the commercial world and make some money as the result of your winning effort in the Olympics. I mean, it's all about enhancing your life and enhancing your art, making yourself better and stronger as an athlete, as a person in business, as an artist, and also enjoying the benefits that come from that. So you're going to go out there, you're going to kick some ass, right? And when you tell somebody, it was fine. No, it wasn't fine. All I got to do is point at that kid Miller of the USA team after that game. I mean, everybody saw it. And I don't know who that guy was that was interviewing him, Fox, but you better just keep him away from that guy Miller. Miller looked like he wanted to just bury that guy's head in the ice. And what do you think? Here's one of the questions. What do you think about how do you like this game? What do you think this game's done for hockey? And this guy Miller, he might as well have said, I don't care what it's done for hockey, man. I could care less what it's done for hockey. We lost. Yeah, but you guys put up a good, you got no reason to hang your, did you like that one? You got no reason to hang your heads. And I'm telling this guy Miller, he's like, you know, yeah, good team, that Canadian team, huh? Yeah, you know, yeah, okay, we suck. We should have beat them, and they should have beat them. Well, why do you say that, Phil? Because their athletes were absolutely on a par with the Canadian athletes. because their team was as well coached, because the caliber of player was as good as the Canadian team. These are professional hockey players. One of the great things about the Olympics, as you know, is that we have finally gotten rid of this notion of the amateur status of the players. It would have been fine if everybody was playing by those rules, but they didn't. The Russians, of course, had their professional players going up against our amateurs. The Russian pros, the Russian professional hockey players were going up against our amateurs. In 1980, when our amateurs, when our college guys beat the Russian pros, that was one hell of an upset, man. That's like the college all-stars beating, whoever, you know, the champions of that's like the college all-stars going out and beating the Saints or the Colts. And when we finally did get our pros to play, guess what we found out? You know, Russian hockey, you can stick that in a can and leave it in the street, man. That's how good your hockey is over there. You suck. And we were always hearing about the big red machine. Oh, man, those Russians. Boy, are they great. They skate. They this, they that. They this, they that. You stink. Okay? Those guys were nowhere to be found in this tournament. So along comes the gold medal game, and what do we got? We got Russia versus the U.S. They're red. It might as well be red. It's Russia North. I'm kidding. Canada versus the U.S.
No, they do have a red.
Well, they do. They've got red uniforms. Canada versus the U.S. And because it's Canada, I guess, don't give me this horse manure about their players, man. Their players are no better than ours. But already we had this mindset, well, it is Canada, and, you know, they have that big maple leaf, and ain't that, that's the land of hockey. So we get that mindset going, and we can't win the game. See, my whole thing is the following. We got to start in this country, I believe, we got to start celebrating winners again. We don't do it anymore. We don't do it anymore. And I don't mean necessarily in sports, but let's just start with the Olympics. If you want to start with sports, let's start with the Olympics. Let's start with the Winter Olympics. We didn't win as many golds as Canada. Canada had more golds. We had more medals, which means we had more second and third place finishers than the other teams, than the other countries. Canada, I forget who else. That means America, we might have won the medal count. Yeah, we won the medal count, all right. We won the medal count with second and third place. Now, that is the way we think in this country these days. We think that way in business. We think that way in education. We think a high school diploma is just fantastic. A high school diploma, I don't want to bum anybody out, but you might as well wipe with that thing for all the good it's going to do you. High school diploma. Oh, yeah, man. That's where we're at right now. I'm going to get me a high school diploma. What are you going to do with that? I don't know. I got to frame it. Yeah, frame it, man. Put it behind your desk there, in the broom closet. So that's how we're thinking in this country. You know, we're thinking bronze and silver. We are such a bunch of losers these days that when an entire industry is destroyed by a lack of imagination, leadership, engineering ability, skill, and just general chutzpah, we want to say it's because of the workers, not the leaders, the workers. They're the ones that undermined everything. And we want to say it's because of the government. They're the ones that are dictating the changes. We don't want to look what's obvious right in the face. If you have an army, let me ask you a question, folks. If you have an army, and your army is getting its ass kicked in the field, do you say, well, it's obvious the soldiers suck. Let's go get some new soldiers. When you have a football team, and the football team is getting its ass handed to it morning, noon, and night, week in and week out, do you say, we got to get some better players? You may say that at the beginning, of course. Football and military are alike, but the time is compressed with football a little bit. But sooner or later, what do you say? You say, you know what, this team stinks. It stunk for a long time. We need a head coach change. We got to get ourselves a whole new crew. The U.S. auto industry was stinking it up for a long time. That ain't about workers. That's about the leadership. And it's about where we're at in America these days. We ain't about winning. We're about just coming in second. That's good enough. We're about coming in third. That's good enough. Coming in fourth. That's good. We come in second, third, and fourth. That means we made our number. We made enough money. You know, we can sell off parts of the company. Who cares if we stick people on the street? We did it. You know, we capitalized the venture. We maximized the potential. We made the sale. We sold the assets. We liquefied whatever needed to be liquid. And we solidified whatever needed to be solid. And that's the language that we speak. We don't talk about quality, kicking ass, championship number one. We walk around like a bunch of stumbles. We're saying, oh, well, we just did a fantastic job. We're silver. We're number two, man. That's the States right now. And we're all jazzed that we had the medal count at the Olympics. Did you look at the medals that we won? The Canadians kicked our ass at gold. In fact, I think we came in third or fourth when it came to gold. We're second and third place, this country. That's how we're thinking, and that's because of a generation of parenting that said, you know what, if you did your best, that's good enough. I am here to tell you, if you're a young person, listen to me right now, if you're 10 or 11 or 12, you're being lied to. If you do your best, sometimes that ain't good enough. You're going to have to find a way to do your best at something you're the best at. Huh? A senator flips the bird to reporters, plus state senators Guy Barton and Kurt Quady. Coming up next, they'll be talking about respecting your elected representatives. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.